Mark Zumo, the best commentator. The world's best commentator, hands down.
The one and only, number three, the Philadelphia 76ers, Allen Ezell Iverson.
You were traded by the Sixers to Denver December 2006. Couldn't something else have happened to keep you here and have you finish your career here? Tyrese Maxey, is he the closest thing in a Sixer uniform that you've seen that resembles you?
That's a fact. I know about LeBron being in Cleveland and Mike being in Chicago, but I don't think the relationship between a player and fan has ever been like the relationship that I have with my fans in Philadelphia.
The Answer provides the answers to these and other questions next on Fresh 24.
Allen Ezell Iverson. First of all, where does Ezell come from?
My mom just, I don't know.
Just came up with it?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I don't know what she was thinking. I definitely don't know what she was thinking when it, well, I do know what she was thinking when it came to my nickname.
What was she thinking? We talked about Bubba Chuck.
Yeah, she had a uncle named Bubba and one named Chuck, and they were arguing over my nickname. She said, "Name him Bubba Chuck." Simple as that. It was very simple.
We're recording this at the Sixers training facility, April of 2024, and we just unveiled a sculpture with you about to cross over somebody. This has been an emotional day for you. I mean, you were on the podium, and you were just barely keeping it together.
Right.
At that moment when you were on the podium before the unveiling, mm-hmm. What were you thinking that overcame you so much emotionally?
When you're discussing the people, the many people, the plethora of people that help you accomplish something like that, you know what I mean? I got emotional because, you know, I was thinking about my family, my friends, my teammates, my coaches, the medical staff, you know, everybody that played a part in my success, you know what I mean? Because you can't become someone that turn out like me. You can't become that person by yourself, you know what I mean? You need a support system, and I've had a great support system throughout my career and throughout my life in general. And it's just, you get emotional because you know them people love you for you. You know what I mean? A lot of times, fans, they love you, but they don't know you. But the people around you, your everyday people, your teammates, you know what I mean? The organization, the people in the organization, they know you. And I'm pretty sure at some point throughout my career, everybody in this organization did something to help me become who I am.
You're 48, going on 49. What's it like getting out of bed?
I don't have those problems yet.
So you expect something to happen?
Absolutely.
At some point.
Do I feel like a spring chicken? No. I was in at a restaurant in Charlotte, and one of my friends was. We were going back and forth. He was telling me he could beat me in racing, this, that, and the third. He's 40 years old, so. Me being me, I haven't ran in years, years and years. All I do is walk in my neighborhood. So I was like, you can't beat me. He was like, okay, we're going to race from here to here. And then all my friends saying, well, you should stretch first, Chuck, stretch. I'm like, I don't need to stretch to beat him. And they said, well, let's shorten up the distance. I didn't want to shorten up the distance. Now, if I would have shortened up the distance, it wouldn't have happened. And if I would have stretched, it wouldn't have happened. Man, I took off, come out the gate, zoop, and I'm killing them. And I pulled up lame.
Hamstring. Hammy, yeah.
Yes.
It always seems to be the hamstring.
It hurt so bad. Because I only had that injury one time in my life. It hurt so bad, man. And I came up bad, and then they videotaped it. And, you know, I'm outside, and I'm hurting. And I come back in the restaurant, and they're in there showing random people me coming up lame. It was a bad, bad experience. But other than that, man, I think I have my days when things hurt. You know what I mean? And I didn't do anything. I just know it come from old injuries. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Just aching. So I think that come with the territory of just being an athlete.
Speaking of beating somebody at something, I'm talking to Freddie Mitchell, the former Eagle, who I know you're friendly with. And he said, back in the day, you said to him at one point, I'm better than Donovan McNabb. And you had a catch with him in a parking lot. Do you remember this story where you were throwing him a football?
I remember throwing it to him, yeah.
And did he, what? How did he react?
I don't remember. I'd be lying.
And by the way, did he even know that you were a high school quarterback?
He did know. I probably was bragging to him about it. But I posted a lot of my, well, that was back then. Instagram wasn't even a thought. But I post a lot of my football videos just so people can know what I could do.
Bro, let's think about that for a second. You just broached the subject of social media. I mean, your career was pretty much over by the time that stuff got big.
It was over.
What do you think your life would have been like with social media?
I don't want to think about it.
But I'm saying, you know, instead of hiding out at Fridays, cell phones are on you. You know what I'm saying?
Everything.
Right.
Everything.
Right.
And it's bad now. It's bad now, Zoo. Like, everywhere I go, when I turn around and I look in a direction, every time somebody got their cell phone pointed in my face, every day I leave out of my house, it's somebody that get me on their phone. So,
are you cool with that?
I mean, it's hard to deal with when they don't ask you to do it. You know what I mean? Because I think people should ask you to do that because they post it and they, you know, they might put out something that you don't want to put out. You know what I mean? Like when I'm in a grocery store and I have my rags on, you know what I mean? Like, come ask me because I don't want to be put on, you know, on social media looking like this. So, you know, sometimes that's a problem. But for the most part, man, you got to accept who you are and accept that it's going to happen and just conduct yourself in the right way. You don't have nothing to worry about.
Mm. Speaking of cell phones, Larry Hughes was on our podcast and we had a laugh telling a story of how you would always come out of the hotel with a cell phone to your ear so nobody would bother you. And then Larry said half the time it wasn't even your cell phone.
Right. I mean, and then when you think about it, when I used to do that, people don't care. They don't care if you're having a conversation with your kid, your mother, your grandmother, it don't matter. You know, they're going to interrupt. They're going to interrupt you. And that's just the way it is. I think a lot of times, like I was taught when I was young, my mom was talking on the phone, you better not say nothing to her. You know what I mean? Don't call her name or nothing when she on the phone because you see she on the phone. But a lot of times, I think the beauty of it, it's just who you are, and they get excited. You know what I mean? And they don't mean nothing by it. So it's something that I can accept and I live with.
One topic I always wanted to broach with you was the fact that when you were drafted, the Sixers, we all thought we had the backcourt of the future with you and Jerry Stackhouse. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if this precipitated his trade to Detroit or not, but I remember coming to a practice. I'm almost positive it was at Wells Fargo Center. You mm-hmm. and he started trash talking. And then Larry Brown blew the whistle. There was a timeout. You guys came over to drink some water. And the next thing I knew, you guys were throwing haymakers at each other.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
I mean, it was just, I don't remember it. You know, I have vivid memory of it. I don't remember that much. I just remember throwing punches and none of them was landing. None of his was landing. None of mine was landing. So obviously, we didn't really want to hit each other. But that was a crazy story because it was a big deal back then.
Oh yeah.
And we're the best of friends now.
Is that right?
Oh man, the best of friends. You know what I mean? And have been for a long time. And I love Jerry to death.
How did you know it was time to retire? Was there a singular moment?
Yeah, it was a moment we had a home game, and my daughter had Kawasaki disease, and she was diagnosed with it. And
what is that, by the way, if you don't mind me asking?
If I wish I could tell you something with her immune system.
Mm-hmm.
Tawana could tell you a lot better than me. But you know, she was sick, and I was on the court, and I was thinking about her, and I knew that it was time for me to go, because all throughout my life, whenever I'm on the dance floor, for those 2 hours, that's all I'm thinking about is basketball, my teammates, my fans, you know, my coaches. I'm thinking about the game. And I knew it was time to go because that was my safe haven. Whenever I'm out there, I don't think about nothing but the game. And when I wandered off and started thinking about her, I was like, it's time. And wow. It was.
How about that? You were traded by the Sixers to Denver December 2006. Couldn't something else have happened to keep you here and have you finish your career here?
Yeah, we could have. I never wanted to leave, but we had lost like 21 games in a row, and at that point in my career, we don't lose 21 games in a row, not at all. And we were playing in a style that I felt like we were gonna keep losing. So I went in the office and said, we're gonna do it this way. If we're gonna play like this, then y'all might as well get rid of me. I'm too old to lose 21 games in a row. You know what I mean? If every year I wanna have a chance to win. I mean, I've been here, what, 10 years? So at that point, my career was obviously winding down anyway. So to lose that many games in a row, we weren't doing something right. Either we weren't playing the game right, or we weren't being coached right, or the style didn't fit the team.
Tyrese Maxey, Joel Embiid, getting ready to enter the playoffs. Tell me your thoughts about how you think the team's going to do.
Can't wait. And see, with me, I'm so biased because that's my team. You know what I mean? And I'm going to always think we got a chance, but I definitely think with him coming back and getting back in rhythm the way he is, and Tyrese playing the way he's playing, and then our role players are doing their part, and, you know, we have a great coach, I think that the sky's the limit for us. I think it's going to be us in the Nuggets.
Wow.
In the championship. And I'm not scared to play nobody in the first round or to play in.
That includes the Boston Celtics.
I don't care who it is in the East. If you got Joel playing like he playing, and Tyrese playing like he playing, and everybody else is doing their part, we're not scared of nobody.
Tyrese Maxey, is he the closest thing in a Sixer uniform that you've seen that resembles you?
That's a fact. Just bigger, stronger, but with the same attitude, the same killer attitude. You know what I mean? The same confident. And I love it. I love everything about him.
I love the sculpture. It embodies you. The crossover, it had to be. But the only other choice I think you had was you doing this.
I know.
With the hand to the ear.
I know.
Tell me in retrospect, now that you're closing in on 49, what it means for you to have been a 76er and had the relationship with the fans that you had.
I think it's a blessing. That's the only thing, only word I can use, the blessing. For us to have the love for each other like that. You know, you look at fan and player relationship all over the world, and, you know, not to be arrogant about it or cocky, I think we have the best relationship ever. You know what I mean? I know about LeBron being in Cleveland and Mike being in Chicago, but I don't think the relationship between a player and a fan has ever been like the relationship that I have with my fans in Philadelphia.
Well, I know we agreed to 20 minutes. I'm going to try not to lament.
We don't have to agree to nothing. We can keep going if you want to keep going.
We can keep going? Can we keep going?
I mean, he makes the decision, man.
Shit, bro. Let's keep kicking it then. you were dropping 30 a game when teams were averaging 95. Mm. Now they're averaging almost 20 points more per game than that. What do you think you could average today?
I got some flack behind that, but definitely 40 or more, definitely. Because, I mean, my best season, I averaged 33, and I know I could average 10 more points than I did. And I'm just...
So you could have averaged 40 a game.
I know it for a fact. Just because, Zoo, the game is so wide open. You know what I mean? It was never a problem for me to get past the guy that was guarding me. I've never even thought about him, the guy that was guarding me. I was always worried about the next level of the defense. So if you got the big guys playing on the perimeter and they way out there guarding Joel because he can shoot threes, by the time I get past my man, I'm laying the ball up. Because how can he recover from being way out there? So I'm just thinking the game is just so wide open and so offensive oriented that I would have had a field day. You know, when I was playing, they were, I mean, after I, you know, won all those scoring titles or whatever, then all of a sudden they implemented the a zone. But the whole history of the NBA, they never played zone at all until I started winning all them scoring titles, and then they implemented a zone. Like when I was in college, I was telling my teammates, like, no more 2-3s, no more 1-3-1s, no more boxing ones. Now you got to play me man-to-man all night. And how can you stop me playing man-to-man all night? I'm going to have a field day. And then a couple years go by, then they put in a zone. Now you got a zone in the NBA.
Are you a fan of the game today, the way it's played?
Love it.
You do?
Love everything about it. Love the players. Love Adam Silver. I think he's doing an incredible job. I love the game today. It's so exciting. The players are getting better and better, and it's going to continue to be that way. It's only going to elevate. Our lead is just going to keep getting better. I'm a big fan. Even with, you know, everything being wide open, you got guys scoring 70 points, and that's fun for a fan to watch.
If you played today and the coach said, you're not going to play tonight because of load management, well, how would you have responded?
Going to have a problem. Going to be a big problem. If you tell me.
Why did you have to play? Why? And I'm going to give you my philosophy on you. My philosophy was that the way you grew up when you were a kid, the only way you could find peace was on the field, on the court. So for you not to be able to play would be denying you that. Am I close to that?
And the fun aspect of it. I love to play. It's fun. Like when I was in the league, it was just like when I was in high school or playing rec league. It's just fun. You can't wait for the game. You know what I mean? Like you do your practice thing or whatever. Like if you gonna load manage me, just not have me practice, but let me play in the game. Like, I mean, those that is what I wanted to do. I seen when guys were saying that they got on me about the big practice rant because I wasn't practicing, but nowadays you got guys that don't want to play in the game. You know what I mean? And if a guy's not hurt, why wouldn't he play in the game? You know, I always say, you know, a kid or an adult or anybody might be the only chance they get to see their hero, and then you don't play because you just don't want to play. Never, not me. Man, they would have a problem with me by trying to just make me sit out, and I'm not even hurt.
You ever watch the TV show Ted Lasso?
Mm-mm.
So it's about an American. He goes to England. He ends up coaching a professional soccer team. They do a mashup of your practice news conference where he literally says word for word to a star player of his, and they take your words and they almost turn it into a pep talk that the coach was saying to his player. Ted Lasso was saying to his player. You've never seen that?
Never.
All right. I'm going to send you that video. You need to check that out. That's unbelievable.
You're sitting in here. You're supposed to be the franchise player. And yet here we are talking about you missing practice. We're talking about practice.
I'm going to give you a choice between a couple of things. I'm going to play a game with you here.
Cool.
It's called our halftime segment. It's brought to you by Garage Beer. It's our six-pack of questions. Cheesesteak or soft pretzel? You got to choose. Cheesesteak or soft pretzel?
Cheesesteak.
Center City or South Jersey? You got to make a choice.
Center City.
Gritty or Philly Fanatic?
Gritty or Philly Fanatic?
Uh-huh. You got a choice. So Gritty is the mascot of the Flyers, and Philly Fanatic is...
Philly Fanatic.
Thank you. Meek Miller Hall and... this is not the SATs here. This is simple stuff. Meek Miller Hall and Oates.
Meek Mill.
Liberty Bell or Rocky Steps? You got to think about that one. Liberty Bell or Rocky Steps?
Liberty Bell.
Okay. I'm going to go into my music library. I'm going to give you a handful of artists. You tell me if you have them in yours. Are you ready?
All right.
Smokey Robinson. Got to have some smoke.
But I love him. I just don't have none of his
music.
You
got to have some smoke. You got to go get some smoke.
I love Smokey Robinson, though.
Biggie.
Definitely.
Okay. The Roots.
Definitely.
Future.
Definitely.
Isley Brothers.
Definitely.
Alan, what do you think of the fact that people often credit you with being one of those who helped to merge sports with fashion, entertainment, and popular culture? I mean, sometimes I laugh because remembering you as I do, it was just you being you.
Right.
Yet people, you know, I heard people today at the sculpture dedication where they were saying, you know, they felt like they could act a certain way or wear a certain thing because of you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever stop and realize whatever impact you think you may have had in that regard?
Yeah, because I took the butt whipping for it, for these guys to be themselves and wear what they want to wear.
Butt whipping in what way?
I mean, the dress code. We're talking
like getting fined for wearing
tattoos and right. my hair.
Okay.
How I get tattoos. I got criticized for how I wear my hair. That was the craziest thing in the world. And I was just, you know, I just grew it out because I was tired of barbers messing my hair up on the road. But I just think a lot of guys appreciate it now. And then when you think about, I never wore a suit anywhere to nothing but funerals and church. I never wore a suit to the court. You ever seen Reservoir Dogs?
Yes.
Okay. And what did they have on when they was doing all those crimes?
I don't know. You got to remind me.
They had on suits.
Okay.
What did John Gotti have on? What did Al Capone have
right,
on?
There you go. Suits. I hear what you're saying, right.
So it don't matter about it. It don't matter what the person look like or what he wear. You know what I mean? It's about the person. You can put Al Capone in a nice suit. He's going to be Al Capone.
We see you in Philly a number of times each year. What are you doing with the Sixers?
Anything they ask me to do.
Such as personal appearances, that kind of thing?
Personal appearances. How you say it? Gala, galas?
Gala, it's your call.
Tomato, tomato.
Yeah, right.
Showing up at certain games to, you know, support my team. Things that I would do anyway. And then I'm able to... If I want to speak with anybody or coach need me to do anything, far as talking to anybody or helping in any way, I'm a Sixer for life. So it is what it is, you know. And I love being here. You see that out there today? Like, why wouldn't I want to show up, you know, for people around here that I love and have love for me like that? Right. I can't get this love nowhere else but probably, what, China?
And I was there with you in China and Japan. I don't know if you remember that, but I was there for those Reebok tours back whenever it was, the early 2000s.
It ain't nothing like this place. Nothing like when you say Allen Iverson name in this place or Allen Iverson talk about the fans in this place. Like peanut butter and jelly.
You are an unbelievable artist. Do you still do any of that? You draw caricatures and stuff? It's amazing. You should put that stuff up on eBay.
I know, man. I know. I'll get around to it. And
I'm being dead serious. We're not talking about a basketball player who could draw a little bit.
I do caricatures of my friends. Like, when they get on my nerves, I'll draw one of them, and everybody will laugh. But I know I need to put my work out there. But my daughter... My next to youngest daughter, she is incredible.
Got that from you.
Incredible. I mean, listen, I'm nowhere near her level.
Wow.
Nowhere near her level.
We all look back on our lives as we get older, our achievements, some of the things we're not so proud of. How do you view your life now as you're a couple of years from 50, but you're getting there. It's unbelievable to even say, but... I look back on my own life and say, oh, yeah, I did this, that, and the other thing. But I almost, like, obsess over, like, some of the stuff that, you know, I kind of regret. How do you view that?
I don't have too many. Probably the only regret, I don't really think that's a regret, but only regret that I have sports-wise is not listening to Coach sooner. Not taking in, not buying what he was selling sooner. Other than that, like,
how about some of the off the court
stuff? I was getting to it. Okay. I was trying to, you know,
transition. Navigate,
you know, mm-hmm. which way I wanted to
I'm
go.
With you.
It's a lot of things off the court that I'm not a proud of. I think, you know, getting a divorce because of me. With the person that I love more than life itself, making mistakes in that way. And then I think one of the biggest mistakes that I ever made is trying to save everybody and not having the word no in my vocabulary. I think that's one of the biggest that I couldn't get a hold of. Now, is it there now? Yes, it's in my vocabulary, but I still revisit some of my old ways for people that I love and care about.
That's it, bro.
All right.
I could kick it more, but it was a great vibe. Thank you so much. I appreciate you being on Fresh 24.
I love you, brother.
Hey, guys. Thanks for listening to this episode of Fresh 24. Please subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcasts.
Check out our friends over at Philadelphia Sports Nation, a local Philadelphia sports site. Covering your favorite teams across blogs and social media. PHLSportsNation.com. Philadelphia Sports Nation. PHL Sports Nation. Enhancing your Philadelphia sports fan experience.